Welcome to the Landscape, a Cranes Cleveland podcast. I'm Dan Paletta. Thanks for joining us. In 2008, PNC purchased Cleveland-based National City Bank, and since then, their presence in our region has continued to grow, not only as a bank, but as a major philanthropic institution. Here to talk to us about what's happening at PNC these days is the regional president for the Cleveland market, Pat Pastore. Pat, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Dan. Glad to be here.
We're going to dive into all things PNC here in a minute, but let's talk about you for a minute. You grew up here in Northeast Ohio in Hartsville. Your parents were small business people. What did you learn from them when you watched how they ran their businesses?
Great question, Dan. Yes, I did grow up in Hartville. It's about an hour south of Cleveland. And I was first generation college educated. Both my parents did not go to college, but my dad always liked to joke that he went to the school of hard knocks. When out of high school, he started a barbershop in the 50s and 60s, and then long hair came into style, and some of the demand went away. And then my dad, my father, my mother, and his brother, they started a dry cleaners in the 60s and 70s, and clothes, the material started changing where the dry cleaning product was not needed as much. And so I can still remember my mom telling a story. They were sitting with one of those, you know, those 2-inch thick Sears books.
Sure.
That you would get around the holidays. And my mom saw a pop-up trailer in the book. And she said, you know, John, why don't we buy a couple and try to rent those out? So that's what they did. And that has since turned into, a well-performing, successful RV dealership. But they started that business in the early 70s, right before the oil crisis and the high inflation. So, Dan, really what I learned from my parents is perseverance. And that's kind of what I grew up. I can remember the conversations around the dinner table. And it has really given me, I think, a grounded understanding of the challenges and opportunities of small business owners and an appreciation for what they do.
We'll continue on, but I just must interject because your dad's school of hard knocks, my father, who is not educated, used to tell people he went to finishing school, and they would look at him and say, finishing school? And he'd say, yes, yeah, cement finishing school. So it's...
there you go.
It's always great to hear that. But those are the people, as you saw with your own parents, that helped drive the economy in many respects.
Absolutely.
So how do you get into the world of banking?
So I went to Miami of Ohio, got my 4-year degree in finance. Always thought that I would end up going back into the business or being part of another private business. But I knew that I had a professor that always talked to me about, you know, banking is a great place to start. You learn a lot about various industries, various companies, how the world of finance works, and having that as a background would be great to then support your efforts or desires to go into business. Out of undergrad, I started my first job with PNC Bank in the late 80s in Pittsburgh. And after a short while there, I realized that this is really the industry that I wanted to be in. It's dynamic. There's a lot of great people. Banks really do a lot for the communities and the economy. And I ended up getting my MBA at night at Carnegie Mellon. And after I got my MBA, I worked for PNC a little longer, had a couple stops of different employers, but ultimately arrived at National City Bank in 2000. And then the rest is history, as they say, with PNC buying National City.
We've been talking with various people over the last few weeks about dealing with the return to the office. What's the situation now at PNC? How are you guys dealing with that?
We're dealing as best as we can. We have been, up until this past month, the beginning of June, we have been voluntary for the most part. There's clearly some roles at the bank that where you need to be in the office. We tag those as essential roles. But other than that, many people have been working from home. And, it played out very successfully with our technology. But as of this past, earlier this month, all of our employees now know going forward if their role will be remote 100% of the time, if it would be in office 100% of the time for some of those essential roles, or there's a big group of employees that are considered hybrid. And that's where you can be in a couple times a week. And that's going very well. You know, everyone kind of understands their role and the expectations. But throughout this entire time, we've continued to focus on customer service, delivering value to our clients. During this time, we closed on a major acquisition, the U.S. assets of BBVA, a Spanish bank. That name's not really known in Northeastern Ohio, but in the Southwest, it's very well known. And we announced it and closed it on the acquisition and converted it all in this pandemic half hybrid model. And so we're very proud. I'm very proud of our employees and the amount of effort that they've put into it. But our number one focus is making sure that we serve our clients and our customers. And that has continued throughout the pandemic. In fact, some of our products helped clients go virtual so that they had the digital products they needed to work from home as well.
One of the things that banks do to serve their clients and their customers is to have branch offices. We had a guest on from Citizens Bank a few weeks ago here on The Landscape, and we were talking about this notion. 10 years ago, everybody was saying, oh, branch offices will be obsolete. They won't even be around anymore. That seems to have changed. What's the situation with PNC, especially with the role of tellers? Has that changed? Do they have a different function now than they used to?
Yes, and that will be changing. It will be a gradual process, but over the next 4 years, probably close to 60% of our branches across the nation will be moving to a more tech-enabled, digital-first type environment. So what that means, and really, Dan, what this is it's really the banking industry following the consumer with phones, with mobile apps, with the ease of doing banking digitally. The amount of people that go into a bank to do basic transactions such as cash a check or withdraw money is dwindling every day. However, for major transactions, for more complex situations, you absolutely want to go into a branch and talk to a financial specialist about the home purchase or about your retirement. Are you retirement ready? Those more complex types of discussions are absolutely needed. So we're modifying our branches and turning them into financial centers that are going to better meet the needs of the consumer.
One of the things we frequently hear about when we hear about PNC is this notion of a Main Street banking philosophy. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, we refer to that really as our secret sauce. We are one of the largest banks in the country. We have Wall Street type products. We have money center type products. We have world-class products. However, we deliver those in a very local way. And that's what we mean by Main Street banking. We deliver those in Cleveland with a regional president, that's me, and a head of corporate, a head of retail, a head of asset management, a head of wealth, and so on. If you, Dan, would go to Atlanta, or you would go to Orlando, or you'd go to St. Louis, they would also have a regional president and the head of the various business lines. So here in Cleveland, I am, and my team is focused locally so that we deliver the products, we know the customers, we know the communities, and we do what's best for all the stakeholders for the company, but for greater Cleveland. And that first starts with customers and clients, doing what's best for our customers and clients, and providing them advice and insights and counsel. But the Main Street model also includes how we do our investing in the community, how we support the community. I have a team that works for me that their sole job is to understand in conjunction with me and our leadership team, understand the needs of the community and how can we use our philanthropic resources and our community development resources to best serve the needs of the community. So there's no one in Chicago or Pittsburgh or Atlanta that's deciding, do we invest in Say Yes? Do we invest in University Circle? What sponsorships are the most appropriate to support our brand and business development? What social equity grants are most effective in Cleveland? It's really up to me and my team, our leadership team. And that's what we call the Main Street banking model. We deliver it locally, but we are large enough to have the resources of the largest financial institutions.
Pat Pastore joins us for The Landscape today. Pat is the regional president for the Cleveland market of PNC. The Landscape is a Cranes Cleveland podcast. I'm Dan Paletta. Pat, let's talk about that for a moment, because I'm sure a lot of people obviously come to PNC, all with good reason to say, could you support this or could you support that? What's the decision-making process? Because there's got to be so many worthwhile applicants who are looking for help.
Yes. And if you're specifically talking about the philanthropy, I think that was the question. You know, we do have some guardrails about where we like to put our investments and our support. Our signature philanthropic program is called Grow Up Great. We're 18 years into it. Across the company, we've committed $500 million, $500 million, and it's early childhood education. So it's the years from newborns up to and through preschool, up to 5 years old. There's a lot of science and research, a tremendous amount actually, that show children, toddlers that get off to the right start with a good preschool and parents reading to them and just the educational opportunities for a 2, 3, 4 year old, they will do better in school and they will do better in life. So that's our signature program, but it in no way, shape or form is our only program or what we look for. We look for economic development opportunities to help our communities, our neighborhoods, stand up and thrive. We give a lot in grants and sponsorships to the arts and culture institutions around town, health and human services, and education across the spectrum. The Grow Up Great Early Childhood is our signature program, but we give support for high schools. We give support for post-secondary, colleges, scholarships, wraparound services. And lastly, and I'll talk about it in a little bit, is our PNC Fairfax connection in the way we give back to the community. But with regard to all those areas I mentioned, we really kind of hit a trifecta home run is when we can give to an organization that hits on several of those topics. So they hit on education, they're also economic development, they also touch arts and culture. So for example, we sponsor the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. We also have a grant program called Toddler Rock. It's an education program for toddlers where you use music to teach letters and numbers. But it's also supporting arts and culture. We do similar work with the Cleveland Museum of Art. We do similar work with the orchestra. So where we can overlap goals to help the community and also build our brand, it's a home run, and that's what we look for.
So what is the Fairfax Connection for people who are not familiar?
PNC Fairfax Connection, that is a community center that will be celebrating its 10-year anniversary later this year. Dan, if you're open to it, we'll come back on and talk about that in detail, but it's a community center. There's nothing to do with banking there, but it is 100% owned and operated by PNC, by us, by my team. And they do everything in the Fairfax community for the members and the surrounding neighborhoods to support member development. Think of things like resume writing, how to start a small business, healthy eating, computer classes, graphic design classes, just a spectrum of what the members, it's not what we think they need. We have regular meetings. Now they're monthly. Early on, they were daily as we were getting to know the community and the residents of the community and the churches around the community better, but it's what they need to better their lives, to grow their economic empowerment, their prosperity. And again, like I said, we've been doing it for close to 10 years now. It's free. It's completely free. We connect them to University Circle and the arts and cultural opportunities we put on periodically. And we have about 6,000 members, Dan.
That's great.
That have signed up and said, we want to be part of the PNC Fairfax Connection. There's nothing else like it that we're aware of in the greater Cleveland area. And there's nothing else like it within all of PNC's footprint. It's a unique gem that we have here, and we love it, and we love our friendships and the members that we've gotten to know better in the Fairfax community.
I want to ask you about a product that PNC offers, because frequently we have banking discussions on the landscape. We get to the subject of overdraft fees, and your CEO, Bill Demchak, has really been on the record saying that the banks need to move beyond the sort of gotcha overdraft fees. So how does the low cash mode product help that goal?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Dan. More recently, there's been a lot said about overdraft fees. And when I say more recently, I'd say over the past 6 to 9 months, and about waiving fees, providing grace periods. And before all of this, we've invested heavily in our technology infrastructure. And part of the reason that we invested heavily in our infrastructure is for resiliency, safety, and security for our customers and clients. But that investment in technology has allowed us to develop state-of-the-art products, and low cash mode is one of them. Before it became popular over the past year, we really were investing a few years ago in this product that allows retail customers to avoid overdraft fees in a few different ways by putting control in their hands. And when I say their hands, I mean their phone, their app. And it comes free with our virtual wallet, primary checking and savings product. But what it is it provides alerts to when customers are getting in a low cash mode. They're getting close to going negative balances. It also provides extra time for those customers in at least 24 hours. But since we've rolled this out mid last year, it's averaged at least around 52 hours of time to clear the overdraft before a fee would be imposed. But it does one extra thing that at the time of rolling it out, and to the best of my knowledge now, nobody else offers it. And that is, it provides transparency and clarity to the consumer of what debits are going to clear their account that coming day. And so you know if you're going to go into overdraft, you're alerted to it, and you have the ability with just a toggle to say, don't pay that bill. So the best way I can explain it is with an example. I write three checks, or I write a check to my brother because we bought my dad a birthday gift and we decided to split it. So I write my brother a check, and at the same time, I have automatic payment of my mortgage and my car payment. And let's say they're all going to clear on the same day, and that's going to put me into an overdraft position. I will see on my phone, you're going to go into overdraft, and I can say, go ahead and pay the mortgage, go ahead and pay the car, but my brother, he can wait. I know he won't get too grumpy at me, and he can wait until I get out of the low cash mode. And so what it does, that the rest, you know, many people coming out now and saying, we have no overdraft fees. 9 times out of 10, that means they don't allow for an overdraft. So on the surface, that might sound good, but the truth is, an overdraft is another way of borrowing from a bank. And a consumer may want to go into overdraft so they're not late on their mortgage or they're not late on their rent. And so they would rather pay an overdraft fee and not be late and hurt their credit than just not pay any overdrafts. So we give the power and control and the transparency to the consumer. That's what low cash mode does. It's really, since we rolled it out mid last year, consumers have saved over $54 million, and this is at PNC, over $54 million in overdraft fees. Two-thirds of our consumers who went into overdraft used our extra time, again, at least 24 hours to clear that overdraft. And our complaints, just in general about overdrafts, have gone down by 50%. You know, there's studies, one last thing on this, there's studies that came out prior to us releasing Low Cash Mode that estimated overdraft fees in the country, not PNC, but in the country, some estimates were as high as $17 billion. And our CEO, Bill Demchak, recognized that this is not sustainable and we needed to do something about it. And Low Cash Mode was our solution.
Well, it sounds like a good one. It sort of removes the adversary relationships you sometimes think of, you know, you owe us money, pay us now kind of thing. I think it's wonderful.
We think so as well. And our customers are saying that.
Well, that's great. Pat Pastore, thanks for joining us today on The Landscape and sharing some news about PNC. We hope to have you back. We can talk about the Fairfax Connection, and we still have plenty of other material to discuss. So great having you with us today.
Thank you, Dan.
Pat Pastore is the regional president for PNC here in the Cleveland market. He joined us today for The Landscape, a Cranes Cleveland podcast. I'm Dan Pauletta. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.